offensive than Mandingo. More shocking than Behind the Green Door. More erotic than Deep Throat.
Hi, this is Herb Katz, and welcome to Dial a Dork, the Cleveland radio home for nerds, geeks, and dorks. For the next hour, we'll take your calls about your crashed computer, your hung-up software, your level 17 paladin, or whatever geek-worthy topic you have in mind. Call us at 216-578-1300 and let the Dial a Dork community assist you. And now, here's your Cleveland dorks.
I just wanted to say that I'm a nerd.
Y'all ready for this?
Hello, Cleveland. It is Monday night. University of Akron is not playing basketball tonight, so they've graciously allowed us to present Dial a Dork. You can call us at 216-578-1300. Email us at dorks@dialadork.com, and that is hyphenated dial-a-dork, and we'll probably repeat that info one or two more times during the show, so if you missed it, you'll hear it again. But anyway, welcome to another show. My name's Irvin Katz. I am joined in the studio by Russ Miller.
Can I be Russell since you're Irving?
You can.
Excellent.
All right. Russell L. Miller. And Matthew Minar.
Hello, Cleveland.
And we will soon be joined by Dan the Master Googler Overton and Amitai Schleyer, who are soon to be joining us on the conference call. And we've got Yoko the Architect working extremely hard in the booth on that right now. And tonight's episode of Dial a Dork is brought to you by something very special, something called Nauticon. And I think you guys heard about this. Nauticon is the second iteration of a yearly technology, arts, and music event that will be held this year right here in Cleveland, Ohio, from April 8th through the 10th. And this year's... by the way, Nauticon, I believe, stands for Not Another
Convention.
It's not just a con.
Yeah, exactly. It's just no ordinary con.
This is
con.
Something special.
And since the Dial a Dork crew will be there, I believe the... Friday night, the 8th.
Friday night, the 8th, 8 to 10 p.m., the prime time spot.
That's right. Since we'll be there, that's right. And since we'll be there, that definitely cements its position as not another con. It's truly unique.
Well, it certainly brings it to another level of dorkdom.
Well, one thing that's really, I don't know if you guys checked out the schedule this year and last. It's really impressive the people they're bringing to town.
Yeah, well, I'm you are absolutely correct. The this year's focus is on how technology and community intermingle. The event itself has two tracks of presentations ranging from community radio to network security to MUDs, with speakers including Eric Meyer, Richard Thieme, and the particular guest I'm extremely excited about, FARC.com's Drew Curtis.
Whoa,
is going to
right.
be there. And really, to be perfectly honest, Drew Curtis is nothing short of an internet celebrity, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
I mean, how many hits per day does FARC.com get? 20 million?
Who knows?
20 million hits a day, something like that?
Loads.
Yeah. I mean, I go there, I don't know, 5-6 times a day searching for, well...
boobies.
Yeah, boobies. All right, I'm looking for the
There's
boobies
so much
links.
Else there.
I know there is, but the... I really... My favorite thing... my second favorite thing besides the boobies is all the Photoshops of the expression, I'd hit it. Those things are getting totally out of control, and they're
really
hilarious.
You need to start practicing some of your Photoshop skills.
Oh, man. Well,
Microsoft Paint skills.
Well, you go up against some pretty damn talented Photoshoppers up on...
or the open source GIMP.
I was going to say, how many people have used GIMP out there? That's what I'm saying.
All right. Just let me finish this up here. Nauticon also is going to be hosting games and events such as Anything But Ethernet, which challenges attendees to produce the most convoluted networks they can.
And this is like
I'm
that,
certainly looking forward to that.
Pigeon Ethernet that some guy did
Ethernet
over
by
in Europe.
Carrier pigeon?
Yeah, there it is. Russ has got it.
What?
They strap each packet to the leg of a carrier pigeon and they send it off. High latency. High latency.
That is absurd. I love it. The event will also feature a wide variety of electronic music. So if you're into that, definitely show up. There's going to be some very knowledgeable people there, talented people too. Information about the event, including registration information, is available at www.nauticon.org. That's N-O-T-A-C-O-N, nauticon.org. And I believe if you pre-register, you can save a nice bit of coin. I think it's about $70 at the door. So I think you can save a little bit of money.
Yeah, I think it was 55 pre-registered.
That's not bad. Yeah. Not bad. Take the 15 and use it at the cash bar.
Yeah.
Presuming they have one there. And hopefully we're going to have, I believe his name's Paul Schneider. Is that his name? Froggy?
Froggy from nauticonradio.org.
Right? Yeah, or no, I think he's the organizer.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
He's going to be on the air with us.
I think he's going to come in maybe next week, definitely the Monday of the event, to tell us more about it. So we're looking forward to that as well. We also want to thank VisionNet, our preferred ISP. VisionNet provides network consulting, website development, web hosting, internet connectivity, and VoIP services. For all your technological needs, contact VisionNet at 1-800-645-9351 or sales at VisionNet. That's VISN.net. And they're local. Don't send your money to some crummy ISP out of Cleveland. They're local.
Outside of Cleveland.
Yeah, call VisionNet. And, of course, I'd like to remind you that this space is for rent. You can advertise on Dial a Dork and get the power of radio behind your organization. 30 and 60-second spots are available for as little as $30 and $50. So that's it. Oh, my God. I cannot even believe your cell phone is ringing. Your cell phone is ringing in the studio.
It was, and I'm not sure who it was.
Good boy. All right. Anyway. Why don't we just move right into the items of interest, discussion, topics,
etc.
Shout out
with a little contact info, which I would do if I knew the number here.
What, for the show?
Yeah.
I did that right at the start.
Yeah, I might have been doing something else.
All right, well.
The number's right underneath your mic,
to make Russ very happy.
Brilliant.
216-578-1300. You can call us. You can mail us at dorks@dialadork.com. It's hyphenated dial-a-dork.com. And I think that's the only two ways you can get it. Well, you can call Matt's cell phone if you really want to. Apparently, it's on. So let's jump right into some items of interest, news of the day. I saw a couple of very interesting things today on Slashdot and other places. First of all, and I'm really impressed by the virus producers, the worm creators. There is now a Bluetooth PDA worm making its way around called Symbian. Have you heard about this?
No, that's news to me.
Okay, well, check it out. So,
I'm Bluetooth free, though, so I'm not worried.
Well, so it's going around these Nokia series, of Nokia phones, and what it does is it just sends itself to the first Bluetooth-enabled device it can find, even printers.
And that's very powerful because Bluetooth is much like catching a normal virus. You just wander closer to somebody.
That's right.
They probably have an unconnected connection.
It really is like walking into someone's sneeze cloud.
Yeah, it's terrible.
So basically, the word is that there's no actual payload, but what it will do to your PDA or cell phone is shorten its battery life significantly because it bangs away at Bluetooth nonstop.
Naturally, yeah.
So you'll all of a sudden your phone will be dead and you can't figure out why. So
you know, speaking of cell phone viruses. Did you hear that one about Paris Hilton's answer?
Oh my God, that's right. Her cell phone got hacked.
Yeah.
Her cell phone got hacked.
Over 500 celebrities' phone numbers were posted to the internet.
Oh my God.
Girl's popular.
That's beautiful. That'd be like Heidi Fleiss's book getting up on the internet.
Well, that might be a little bit different.
I think that's an apt comparison.
Yeah, I would love to be able to go to the internet and just like find, I don't know, Beyonce Knowles' cell phone number, call her up.
And what would you do with that, Irv?
Probably
some smooth lines on her, man.
Probably
order a pizza.
Probably call her, and then as soon as she says hello, hang up.
Giggle.
And yeah.
Hit her.
I would tee hee. Here's another item, and Matt, we've got Amitai Schleyer. Ty is on line 3. Ty, are you with us?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, it's some
from historic Route 66, just west of Tulsa, Oklahoma, and headed further west.
You're in a car right now?
That's right.
Nice.
Are you holding the phone or are you on speakerphone?
I'm holding the phone as a passenger, so fear not for my safety.
I was actually worried about your arm getting a little tired for an hour-long show. You got enough battery in that thing?
I'm sorry about that either.
You got enough battery in that thing?
I got the DC adapter. Everything's taken care of.
Oh, you are rolling. Well, maybe you can speak to this as well as Matt. Turns out that shortly, this was posted on Slashdot.today, that a user upgraded to OS X 10.3.8, and he started to get pop-up ads on Safari. What do you think of that?
Whoa.
I'm stunned.
I upgraded to 10.3.8 on my Macintosh last week as well, but my Safari is a little denatured, as it were. I have a couple freeware, shareware add-ons that one of which has the function of modifying the pop-up behavior and blocking other content that's actually in the page. So I haven't seen it, but I wouldn't disbelieve that it was happening with the stock Safari. The one thing I would check is whether the preference is set to continue to block those ads, or maybe that preference got disabled by mistake somewhere in the upgrade.
Well, I will say that it was mentioned that a website called Mac Fix It ran a front page article that said, and I quote, "Contrary to initial reports, this problem isn't limited to Safari. Subsequent reports have noted pop-under ads victimizing a number of browsers that provide pop-up blocking features, including the latest versions of Safari, Firefox, Mozilla, OmniWeb, and Camino."
This last week, I have seen two pop-unders on my machine. I run Firefox.
Yeah, and it says here that they're blaming the pop-up advertisers. Basically, they figured out a way to defeat it.
It's an arms race.
I'm impressed. I haven't seen any of this, you know, for all time using my Firefox.
It's all very recent. I was very shocked. I don't know if I'd done something else or what.
I actually experienced it tonight as well for the first time with Firefox.
Oh my God!
Oh, is that you,
the
Dan?
Master Googler.
I'm out here. Believe it or not.
All right.
The conference call finally worked.
Oh, okay. It's terrific. So, so you saw it on Firefox too, and you know this goes back to I think my point that you know the reason that Internet Explorer, and I'm not here to defend Microsoft per se, but Microsoft Internet Explorer, its market share is obscene still, isn't it? Or I mean, it was, what, 80-some percent of the market at one point?
No, it might have been higher. It might have been 90.
So I'm saying it was the most attractive target for an advertiser or a hacker or whoever who wanted to create a little havoc. And but the landscape of browser market share is changing. People are moving to people are moving to Apple, using Safari a lot more. People are using Firefox a lot more. I think it's just a matter of time before those browsers are just as badly affected by this type of annoyance, and that's pretty much what it is.
And that's probably true of spyware and viruses as well. As the Macintosh platform gets more popular, as we all know it's doing, those bad guys are going to consider it a healthier target to go after.
That's right. I'm sure that they are getting a good laugh out of this in Redmond at Microsoft's campus, you know, saying like, you know, we told you so. We've been doing our best. What do you want, you
know? But they haven't been doing this. They haven't issued an update for IE in 2 years.
Really?
There have been a number of security patches and things like that, but they're very slow in getting those things out. There's been very little innovation on the... Go ahead.
Well, I want to say a couple of things, actually.
Go ahead.
I would love to see some statistics on which web browser was more abused, i.e. or Netscape, when, you know, Netscape owned the planet when it had came out. I mean...
Well, it was a much friendlier space back then, too. I mean, the internet wasn't as crazy of a place. E-commerce
didn't exist.
Not just the commerce.
It's not just the commerce. I mean, you know, we had a burgeoning explosion of surfing going on, and you had two browsers, basically. And I think even Netscape was probably the more popular browser in the beginning.
Oh, it was, absolutely.
Oh, well, yeah. It was, wasn't it built off of Mosaic?
Yeah, Mosaic.
You want me to tell the 30-year-old internet?
No. We don't need to go through that right now.
The funny thing is, Ty's only like 12.
Maybe we should call him the professor.
A professor?
We'll call Amitai, you are now the professor.
You'll never understand.
Us whippersnappers.
All right, but getting to the point anyway. It is not necessarily your right to sit on your laurels if you obtain such a market share that you are the most attractive target. Do something productive with your power. Don't sit out there. Provide a experience and a security level that makes your users comfortable. Continue to innovate. continue to challenge the marketplace. The reason that Firefox, Opera, another web browser we haven't really talked about, you know, and the other platforms available for like Mac and Linux and whatnot, one of the reasons they've been able to really come out is that we're going to provide good functionality. We're going to provide things that users want. We are going to do so with good, solid design that makes it harder for the spyware and malware people out there to exploit us.
Amen, brother man.
That's right. Sorry, that was my soapbox.
And
hallelujah.
Well done indeed. Okay, Yoko is... Okay, Eric in Euclid says he hates Windows XP. Everything is slower, and annoying help menus won't leave me alone. What gives? Well, first of all, if he really hates Windows XP, he should do what I did for the last couple of weeks, and that was install and use Windows 98 on an old slow computer for a while, and just to remember... Windows XP is.
Yes, Windows XP is. I 2000 was good. XP's got a lot of Chrome on top of it, but it's good.
Let me pitch in on this one because I was in St. Louis earlier today, staying at a friend of a friend of a friend's house, and they had a Windows 98 machine, and the friend of a friend mistakenly clicked an icon that was just below Internet Explorer. We're not sure what the icon was. The result was the computer rebooted. And wouldn't leave DOS mode because it was missing a key DLL to load Windows. And what I wound up having to do
delete
was
important
upgrading
DLL
to XP because that's what I had with me. And the woman of the house actually said the reason she ran 98 was that she hates XP. And I promised her that I could make it look a lot like 2098, and I did, and she's happy with it.
You can turn off a lot of those animations. You can go back to classic menus in a lot of cases.
I would suggest
the way to do that is go to My Computer and get properties on that, and you go to I believe it's Advanced.
That's
and
correct.
And then there's User Settings, and you click on that, and then there's Adjust for Best Performance versus Adjust for Best Appearance. And if you do Adjust for Best Performance, that gets most of the settings you would want. And then if you want, you can enable a few of those things if you like them.
Right, and then the other place to go is under your display properties, which if you just right-click on the desktop somewhere, not on an icon, and hit properties, you want to go to the Effect tab and uncheck the button that says, you know, use the following effects on menus, display shadows underneath your mouse cursor, and all this other crazy stuff. All those whiz-bang things just drain the resources of your computer.
If I may add one other very useful tool that came out, I believe, during Windows 98 and has been up. It's called...
I know what you're going to say.
Tweak UI.
Woohoo!
Is the name of the product. Okay. It's a Microsoft product.
It's a power toy.
It's a power toy. You can get it for free. It's one of the great little add-ons to Windows. It's called Tweak UI. UI stands for user interface, I believe. You go to Microsoft.com, maybe just do a Google search for Tweak UI.
Or Power Toys. There's other really great power toys
as well, like Command Prompt here is probably one of the
greatest. I installed a magnifier on my parents' computer. They got a brand new computer, a great 17-inch LCD. Couldn't see any of the text, you know. Used to run an 800 by 600.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Use the magnifier. Little magnifier in the taskbar.
Yeah, it's kind of like putting on your reading glasses on the screen. What's that, Dan?
It's probably worth mentioning as well that the power toys aren't supported by Microsoft.
What does that mean exactly?
That means that if you have a power toy of some sort installed and it messes your system up, Microsoft will give you the finger.
And it's so rare that they do
that already.
And not in a good way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. One more tip for Eric. If you're a 98 fan and you like the way the start menu looks, the XP start menu doesn't look like that by default.
Right.
But you can right-click on the start menu, get properties for that, change it to the classic menu, and that'll look a lot like it did in 98.
Control panel also has that same little thing going on, left side.
And I just to follow up real quick, the Tweak UI has... It has got probably 100 or 150 different settings in there that you can change. And I don't know about the help menus all the time. I've never actually seen that, but that may be something that can be fixed in there. If anybody's out there listening, maybe they could run a Google search on help menus, XP, something along those lines. Okay, We are going to turn the mic over to Yoko, the architect, has something to say.
Well, the reason why I wanted, I've got the same problem as Eric, I guess, because when I work in XP, I keep getting this menu that pops up every time I open a Word document that always asks me if I want to use a template or like what kind of thing I want to do, and I just can't get it to stop popping up. It drives me bananas. That's it.
Matt is nodding knowingly.
Oh, this is horrible. So Microsoft came out with this thing called the called Bob. Do you remember Bob?
Oh, yeah,
when
yeah, yeah.
In Office? Who's laughing out there?
That never happened.
Yeah. Microsoft came out with Bob. It's this Office Assistant type thing, and it's this little widget that sits out there while you're working with your Office documents, which might be Word or Excel or PowerPoint or whatever, and it's a little animation and pops on your screen and says, I can help you do this.
It looks
please
like you're typing a suicide
you.
Note. Can I help you?
Exactly. You can pop into your Office preferences and turn that stuff off. It will increase your sanity level to an almost enlightened stage. I can't quite remember where it is off of the top of my head. Usually when it pops up, if you right-click on the little helpful guy and get to properties, you can then turn it off from there.
Yeah, and I think we're working on right now trying to figure out how to turn off the getting started window, which is when you open up Word, you get this pane on the right-hand side of Word 2003, and it's like, what do you want to do? Do you want to open this? You want to create something new? Blah, 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 blah. So we're working on trying to figure out how to disable that.
And
when I open up Word, I get a pain in my right-hand side when I try to open a menu, and it only shows like a third of the menu items.
Ooh,
I
personalized menus.
All right,
first thing I do when I open up is go to customize options and have it show full menus.
All right, we're going to a break. We got to go to a break. We're going. We're gone.
Hi, I'm nobody in particular, and I'd like to ask you a question. Are you dissatisfied with your current IT service provider? And by that I mean, is your computer guy a jerk? Are you paying $100 an hour, $125 or more for IT service? In other words, is your computer guy ripping you off? Does your computer guy leave more problems than he fixes? Essentially, does he know what the heck he's doing? Call the Comm Group today and get the level of service you desire at the price you deserve, with in-home rates as low as $50 an hour and in-office rates as low as $75. That's KOMM Group at 216-556-0141. That's 216-556-0141 or kommgroup.com. Don't be scared. Call the Comm Group.
Yes, it's EITC time again. You know, the Earned Income Tax Credit. At the IRS, we're here to help. So if you'd like to guess whether you qualify, we offer the following exercise. Grab a crystal ball and place it on a table in front of you. Sit in a comfortable position and breathe in and out. Repeat this until you're relaxed. Clear your mind of all thoughts and stare into the ball until the answer comes to you. Of course, if you'd rather know whether you qualify for the EITC, we offer all the information and help you need. Just call us at 1-800-TAX-1040. That's 1-800-TAX-1040. Visit us on the web at irs.gov, keyword EITC, or ask your tax preparer. So if you'd like to stop guessing whether you qualify for the EITC, consider it done.
Talk radio, talking to you all over the country. 6 million people listen to us every week. And I know I'm the greatest in the world. My Ed McMahon, Jim Early, my announcer, who's been with me about 20 years, will tell you all about the show.
If you want to meet stars, if you want to meet the greatest singers, the greatest actors, the greatest authors, they're all on with Marty Kahn, and Marty's on there, too.
What about me, Marty?
Oh, my God, I said the greatest people.
The greatest people, the greatest dad, and the greatest mom.
Marty, Norma, and their daughter, Sherry Kahn, all on 2040 with Marty Kahn this week, sponsored in part by Giovanni's five-star restaurant at Beechwood and by Dick Evans Printing out in Solon and Chagrin Falls. 2040, this Saturday, 1 to 2 p.m., right here on 1300 WERE.
As times change, our bodies process medications differently. That's why it's important to talk to your doctor or pharmacist about your medications. For our free brochure, As You Age, A Guide to Aging, Medicines, and Alcohol, call 662-HELP. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the station.
When you went to Adams, you might have been called a spaz, or a dork, or a geek.
We know you're not on the phone with a girl, so call us instead at 216-578-1300. And now, back to Dial-A-Dork.
Welcome back to the show. You can call us, 216-578-1300. You can email us at dorks@dialadork.com. That's hyphenated, dial-a-dork.com. And we will gladly read your email, and if it's sufficiently geek-worthy, we'll share it with the listening audience. I want to thank VisionNet, our preferred ISP, who provides network consulting, website development, web hosting, internet connectivity, and VoIP services. For all your technological needs, contact VisionNet at 1-800-645-9351. And they're local. Don't send your money out of Cleveland. Call VisionNet. So there. Now, Russ, you discovered something on the Nauticon. We were talking about the Nauticon sort of geek conference coming to Cleveland in April.
Yeah, I was poking around the website here, and I noticed they have a movie section. Very curious what they might be playing. And it turns out they don't have a schedule yet, and they're looking for suggestions. And while you might go to the Nauticon.org site and do that, you could also maybe give us a call at the aforementioned numbers.
216-578-1300.
That's right. And
or email us at dorks@dialadork.com.
And maybe we'll talk about what movies we might like to see at a NerdCon.
Real genius.
Real genius, one of my favorites from the youth.
And of course it's Classic. Pair, Weird Science.
Weird Science.
It was a pair. Yeah. Now, I got a little bit of trivia here for you. What was the actor who played the older real...
Val Kilmer?
No, that's real genius, you moron.
What movie are you talking
Weird
about?
Weird Science, who was the older brother who kept on picking
Bill
on...
Paxton. Oh, Bill Paxton.
I did not know that. Yeah. I learned that very late.
By the way, I'd like to brag about the fact that we here at Dial Dork have done it again. We have solved Eric and... we solved Yoko's problem anyway.
We solved lots of people.
That getting started pain in Office 2003, anyway, if you go to View... Toolbars, and then there's something in there called, oh my god, it's gone.
Task pane.
Well, I got rid of it, now it's
personalized
gone.
Personalized menus.
Well, no, I mean, it's gone. All right, task pane. If that's checked, you just have to click it again, and it will uncheck itself, and then it won't come back. And when it doesn't come back, I mean, damn, it did not come back. So you can get rid of it that way. View, toolbars, task pane, and... it'll be pain no more. And
you know, they need to show something more classic, like The Day the Earth Stood Still or something.
You know, I saw...
Those movies really stink.
You know, I think
they're good to heckle.
MST3K, yeah.
You know, that would be good. Maybe to actually do a live MST3K where people are welcome to
heckle,
shout stuff out.
I think that's what the science fiction marathon at CASE is usually, isn't it? I don't know. I've never been.
Well,
that was a bold-faced lie.
I really did.
That's still going on.
I'm sure the Film Society still does the movies at Strohsacker, and I really loved all the different models of paper airplane that used to flit down
the intro
from
the, to the
CASE balcony.
Film Society, CASE Western Reserve here in Cleveland. Film Society has this awesome, I don't know, when I was there, they were great traditions. We'd all throw airplanes from the balcony up towards the screen. We would...
wide screen stereo.
That trailer, the advertisement for
WREW, I heard was
the
ruined.
The campus radio station, it's gone.
I heard it got ruined.
I actually had a radio show back in the day called Wide Street Stereo, I'll have you know.
We've... what did you do?
I had it, my radio show was called, on REW, it was called Wide Screen Stereo.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I sat in on Dan Turner's radio show called The Acid Filibuster.
Okay.
I think that's a cool name.
Okay, you're done. Take line one.
Oh, okay. We have a guy on line one named Dave, and he wants to know, well, we'll let him state his question, but remind me, I've got something I want to tell our audience, a sort of a public service announcement concerning email, and this question supposedly is about email. So, Dave on line one, are you there?
Yes, I am, and I love the show, guys.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. I'm not real happy with my ISP, and I'd like to change. But is there any way that I could automatically relay a message from my old address to my new address?
Absolutely.
Well, that's...
Possibly.
Well, the thing is if you cancel your account with, you know, ISP A and you're moving to ISP B, I think if you cancel your account with ISP A, you're going to lose the ability to forward that email.
If your account, current account is of the form, you know, Dave at ISPA.com.
Yeah, okay. So let's say that I keep the ISPA and then I open ISPB for a short period of time. How do I mechanically do that?
Matt,
okay. Here's the thing, and I'm going to admit that Irv's right, and that pains me so much.
Sorry.
Most ISPs, even if you cancel your account, will continue to forward your email from the old account to whatever one you give it. And I experienced this personally when I had to unfortunately close my account with a company that started here in Cleveland called ExchangeNet. They were kind enough to forward my email for practically about a year while I used the new one. So everybody send email to my old account and they go to the new one.
So it's like when you change your phone number and for like 60 days they have a message that says this number has been changed. Maybe what you could do is keep both ISPs for 30 days. You can either call your old ISP or use their web interface to set up a mail forwarding. And then over the course of 30 days, you inform everyone you come in contact with that you have a new email address. And slowly but surely, you'll just migrate over. And then one day when you feel as though it's time, you'll just cancel the old account and you're done.
Okay.
Does that sound reasonable enough?
Fantastic. Listen, guys, as somebody who carried a slide rule in college many, 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 many years ago, I think you're terrific.
Oh, thank you very much. And I have my father's slide rule.
It passed from fathers to sons.
Oh, it's a treasured item, and I don't know what the hell to do with it, but it's a great looking device, I tell you.
Well, long ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Well, could you give us a 60-second primer on what you use a slide rule for?
Hey, guys, you can use it for everything. You can use it for trig functions. You can use it for multiplication. You can use it for division. Some of the bigger rules, in fact, I had a Kufl and Esser log triple trig rule. You could get natural and Napierian logarithms down to about 3 and maybe 4 decimal places if you were sober.
Oh, awesome.
That is unbelievable.
What can't you do?
I saw a slide rule today. I went to the
best
Gateway
part,
Arch.
No batteries required.
And they had a display on why the shape of the curve was roughly a catenary, and they had a sample slide rule on display because at the time that it was designed, computers were not in widespread use. So they had the formula on display, and they showed how you could make various calculations with the slide rule that they had on display.
I would be willing to bet that an experienced slide rule user is as flawless and quick with it as like a very experienced abacus user is in Japan or China.
I bet you'd win that bet.
Excellent.
You're really going on.
Guys, thanks a lot for giving me the opportunity to call. I really appreciate your show.
Call anytime. We loved having you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care.
You know, a little follow-up to that call, you can free yourself of the tyranny of your current ISP.
Yes.
By calling VisionNet?
There's that. If you really, you know,
I should have told him to call Vision.
I guess maybe that's ISPBs, but he's a great listener apparently. No, you can register your own domain name. You can have, you know,
that's true.
Dave at daveisthemand.com.
Dave at sliderule.com.
Then you just forward that email to whatever your current ISP email is, anywhere. When you change, your friends just keep emailing you at your own domain, and that setup is really painless these days.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about ZoneEdit?
Well, you know, you can go to a number of places and register that domain. Network Solutions and Yahoo even does it very, very cheaply these days, I understand.
Yahoo does it cheap.
Yes, they do.
I'm a big fan of iPower Web or iPower. They do maybe like, they'll do it for like $8 or something like that.
So you want to look around in the web for network domain registration. That's step one. And that's going to cost you a nominal fee, $5 I think at Yahoo, you know, more at some other places. The next step is they're going to say you can do a lot of things once you have this. You can set up your web page. You can set up email. You know what? If you're not prepared for a web, you don't want to get into that yet, don't bother with it. Don't worry about that. Just set up some email forwards.
In fact, just register the domain name.
Right.
Okay, that's all you have to do. And then you go to a service like ZoneEdit, And you first thing you do is you go to the person, you go to the service with whom you registered the domain name, okay? And you change what's called the name servers to Zone Edit.
When you start with your register, they hold the registration, and most of them offer the same services, so you could do it through them for a fee. However, Zone Edit does it for free, zoneedit.com. That's two E's in the middle. It looks really funny.
Zoneedit.
They want major ISPs to come register hundreds of domains with them for $10 each, so they give you the first five for free. So if you're Dave at sliderule.com, you only need one, and boom, you sign up your domain there. You go to your original registrar. You point them over to your new Zone Edit servers, and you're free of the tyranny of your current ISP.
Perfect. And the beautiful thing about having your own domain name is that when you start registering for things online, if you buy something, if you register for an account at Yahoo or something, you can set your email address to yahoo@sliderule.com. And if you signed up for something at like the Plain Dealer, you could call it plaindealer@sliderule.com. And as you go along, you can start to figure out who's selling your email address to spammers, because all of a sudden, 500 emails a day come to suchandsuch@sliderule.com.
Which you can then forward off into space and no longer get.
That's right.
Also, you can, on a positive note, you can filter more easily based on those addresses on your own email when it comes in from Yahoo. It's probably Yahoo-related. When it comes in from Plain Dealer, probably Plain Dealer-related.
All right, we got another caller on line two. Line two, Sally, are you there?
Hi, yeah, this is Sally.
Hi, Sally, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
Good, good. Now, what seems to be the trouble?
Well, first, I'm a first-time caller.
Welcome.
I think everybody is so far. But we love having you. We don't have a little bell or anything, so.
No, I've never even called a radio station before.
Oh, my God.
Ever.
This is fantastic.
So I am a virgin to radio airwaves.
Ty wants to know if you're nervous.
Oh, I'm very nervous.
Well, there's no reason. We are pretty much.
You feel at ease.
We're just as amateurish as you, I assure you.
Well, I'm drinking a beer, so it's helping me.
Oh, good. Good.
Uh-huh. Now we're jealous.
I'm calling in from Oklahoma to be on the show. So goes both ways.
Excellent. All right, okay. Sally, what's going on?
My problem, I have a computer, a main computer, that just went kaput.
Like, did it explode?
You would have thought.
Okay. Well, now, when you say kaput, can you sort of describe the behavior? What were you doing and what happened?
My daughter was playing on the internet.
That's your first mistake. Well, but okay.
Yeah.
I never used the internet.
She's been doing it for many, many moons. So she's playing on the internet. All of a sudden, it just shuts down. The whole darn thing.
Now, when you say shuts down, did it shut down a la Windows is now shutting down?
Oh.
Or did it say we're dumping the memory and there was a big blue screen and then it shut down?
Nope.
Or did it just all of a sudden go black and the power went out?
Exactly.
Black, well,
no power.
That is probably not software.
Yeah, that screams hardware.
That sounds like hardware to me, and Matt is looking a little skeptical, but what kind of software does that?
No. I just want to ask a couple more questions.
Oh, you want more questions?
Bad software.
We're trying.
I'm ready to answer.
Well, I know you're ready to answer. You're getting a little premature here, boy.
Oh, man.
Oh.
What is the operating system that you're running?
Windows XP.
It is XP.
Okay, well, that even better, because 98, maybe we could see 98.
That's what I was thinking
like
as well. Yeah.
But XP is a little more stable, so.
Right. One of the things that we can look at here, too, will be what kind of environment, like, around your computer do you have?
The CPU sits the floor.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of away from the wall.
Okay.
On both ends, so it's got plenty of room to breathe.
Oh, it does. Okay.
Yeah.
Is it, how old is your PC?
A couple of years. A
couple of years now.
Yeah,
have
I'm
you
gonna
ever cleaned it?
No, I haven't cleaned it.
Have you ever opened the case?
Before we jump there, just to throw it out.
Sure.
Yeah.
You never know.
You wanted to throw it out?
Where a user is.
I think it can be fixed, man.
Just throw it out there without not trying.
Oh.
Make sure everything's plugged in, including your monitor and your ear plugged to the wall.
It's all plugged
in. Okay, good.
Okay. You know, let me just say that there are four things that I think are the possible culprit. These are my four things, and maybe you guys could chime in with others or knock out a couple of these. The first one, the power supply. It could be there's a box inside your computer where the plug from the wall, the power plug, goes in, and it distributes power to all the components of the system. And there's two possibilities there. Either it received some what's called dirty power, which maybe a little, the voltage was a little too low in all likelihood. And if that happens, it can just shut down, just like that.
Okay.
Or the power supply itself is becoming faulty, and that is not unusual at all. Power supplies.
After just a couple of years, that's pretty normal.
Well, they only cost like $20-$30 in the store.
It's random.
It is totally random.
For 10 years, and then others not last for 6 months.
There are some that are just lemons. 2 years, it's not entire. It's not uncommon. I'll say that.
Well, should I take it to my local CPU people?
Yeah, if you're not comfortable cracking that thing open, absolutely.
And I can crack it open. I don't know what the hell I'm looking at.
Well, exactly. And here's three other possibilities that I'm thinking of. Another one could be that the CPU fan has died. And if the CPU fan has died, that means the CPU could overheat and instant shutdown could happen by design.
Okay.
To protect itself.
I mean, I'm listening to it. I did open one side of it, and I didn't see that. I saw everything fanning working.
Okay. And real fast here, I only got like 45 seconds.
Yeah.
The other two things are a bad stick of memory could cause a shutdown because a bad page could crash everything in the memory. So that's possible. And then, of course, something could have gotten fried on the motherboard. And if the motherboard the motherboard is really the heart of the whole thing.
Right.
And if there's something wrong with that,
you
might have to replace the motherboard. So, but motherboards are not terribly expensive. So you're not screwed. It's not garbage, but you definitely might want to take it to a professional who can test the different parts and see what the problem is. Okay, we got to go to a break.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Hi, I'm nobody in particular, and I'd like to ask you a question. Are you dissatisfied with your current IT service provider? And by that I mean, is your computer guy a jerk? Are you paying $100 an hour, $125 or more for IT service? In other words, is your computer guy ripping you off? Does your computer guy leave more problems than he fixes? Essentially, does he know what the heck he's doing? Call the Comm Group today and get the level of service you desire at the price you deserve. With in-home rates as low as $50 an hour and in-office rates as low as $75. That's KOMM Group at 216-556-0141. That's 216-556-0141 or kommgroup.com. Don't be scared. Call the Comm Group.
Hi, this is Jack Perkins, host of Biography on A&E, with some good news for my old hometown, Greater Cleveland. Now, every Monday through Friday at 6:55 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., I'll be your host for Biography for Radio here on WERE 1300 a.m. Biography for Radio delivers life stories of the people you thought you knew. Hope you'll join us each weekday at 6:55 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. for Biography for Radio here on People Power, WERE 1300 a.m., Cleveland.
My mom thinks chat rooms can be so dangerous.
My mom, too. But what do moms know?
Yeah, my mom thinks I'm going to meet up with some weirdo who's going to, like, molest me or something.
Moms are so uncool.
Yeah, we're like best friends already. We have so much in common.
Sports, video games, lots of stuff. So why don't we meet up at the arcade? I'll bring lots of change.
Cool.
Let's meet at the food court and wear our baseball caps backwards so we recognize each other. I'm not telling my folks.
Me neither.
Meet me at noon.
McGruff, the crime dog here. When your kids chat online, they have no idea who they're talking to. Warn them that predators surf the internet looking for young victims. Be your kid's safety net on the internet. Tell them to get your permission before entering a chat room or giving out any information. Tell them to never meet anyone without taking you along. For more tips, visit McGruff.org.
An important announcement from the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, and the National Crime Prevention Council.
Yo soy Luisito el Boricua y te invito a escuchar Sábado Caliente todos los sábados de 7 a 10 de la noche por la WERE 1300 AM. El poder de la gente. No te lo puedes perder. Será descomunal. Será candente. Quémate conmigo en Sábado Caliente de 7 a 10 de la noche. Zumba cartucho que todavía queda pólvora y eso. ¡Ay, qué rico! ¡Uy!
This is a special birthday for Jimmy, because after waiting 3 years in foster care, he was adopted. Thousands of kids still wait for the love and protection of a family. Think about adopting. You'll enrich a lot of lives, especially yours. For information, call 1-800-ASK-DTFA.
Why do you think you're a dork? I don't think you're a dork.
We know you're not on the phone with a girl, so call us instead at 216-578-1300. And now, back to Dial-A-Dork.
All right, we're back. We've got a couple of things we wanted to cover, a couple of topics, and we've got an email question, too. So why don't we hit that email question real quick? I think we can knock that one out pretty fast.
Absolutely, and this will speak to our Senor Crapple of the day.
Ty, you're still there, aren't you?
Oh, we lost him.
Oh, we lost Ty.
I guess we're going to have to wing it then. All right. We have Joe is asking if we knew where we might find, and this mentions in the area, used Macs or refurbed Macs. I don't know if he needs it to be a Cleveland market.
Well, let's...
I mean, the first place I would look would be eBay, of course. And then maybe some of the online retailers that sell a lot of refurbished computers, last year's computers, you know, like the, like PC Mall has like Mac Mall, you know.
He said in the area.
He said in the area.
Well, they're not in the area, are they? They're on the internet.
Hey, the internet is everywhere.
Maybe he wants to actually go to a physical store.
Don't they have that cool IX show?
Yes, they do. That's a good one,
probably.
Too.
Probably. Yeah, and that's once a year down at IX, and I don't know what time of year it is, actually.
There's a Mac store.
It seems like it should.
Yeah, Mac store at Legacy Village.
Yeah, but they don't sell used Macs there, do they?
I don't know, but I'd give it a go. You know, just and go ask those guys, because I bet you they're
there might
in.
Be a market somewhere
they
for people,
sell,
you know, trade-ins.
They sell Macs at Micro Center. They could have some deals, possibly some refurbs.
There you go.
At Micro Center up in Mayfield Heights. They definitely have a pretty sizable Mac section up there.
Excellent.
I bet you some of the local mom-and-pop stores that run PC repair might be able to acquire one for you and then resell it if you wanted to actually get your hands on it and feel it and touch it.
You could try DC Parts over in Lakewood.
That's a good one.
I honestly don't have a particularly authoritative response. If it were me, I'd be on eBay, and that's what I'd be doing.
I can concur.
And I have a feeling
to poke around, but
I have a feeling the prices will be better on eBay than anywhere else. I would also probably
shipping. Ooh.
Yeah, but what are we talking? $30?
I don't know.
$40? I mean, if he's making an $800-$900 purchase, what's $40?
Well, he shouldn't even be making that much.
It's what he's saving and whether it's worth the eBay. I mean, if he's only saving $50.
Well, I mean, if he's
hurts.
Buying a used, really high end Mac, it might cost, you know, high three, low four figures, and $40, $50 shipping is,
my
I don't
suspicion
think,
for
a lot.
Mac hardware has always been that until the minis came out, you're paying more than you want to if you're a refurb shopper, which I am totally.
Yeah, I am too. Well, anyway, check it out. I wanted to cover one topic concerning email that is of particular concern to me.
Before we throw that out, we have one more. one more email.
Go ahead.
See if we can get in here today. A first-time listener saying they're running Windows ME, cannot defrag. Get Windows message with an error number there that the drive's contents have changed. Restarting.
Screensaver.
Okay, and we also have good news. Ty and Dan are back. Are you back?
We are back.
Okay, great.
Hello.
Before we get to that, and we will get to that, Ty, did you hear? You probably didn't hear. Someone wanted to know where in the area he could buy used or refurbished Mac equipment. Any ideas?
There's offhand, but I know somebody who would have an answer that I can get in touch with.
I know a guy.
Email to us. We can get back to them with that.
Okay. Well, you know, that email will be in your email box. Why don't you reply to the guy?
Yeah, we'll cover that next week. We'll try to hit if we get any good leads
there. The defrag problem on Windows ME is very simple. That particular defragging on pre-Windows 2000 machines cannot take place if the drive's contents have changed. It kind of takes a it just can't do it. I don't even want to get into the specifics
as
to why.
It's a safety feature, basically.
Your best bet is to, if it's really become a problem, your best bet is to boot into safe mode and do it in safe mode. The way to get to safe mode is you reboot, and between the post, which is when your computer comes up and has either a splash screen that says like Dell or Compaq, or when it says like, you know, counting up the RAM and here's your hard drives and, you know, mouse found and all this kind of stuff. Right between then and the Windows splash screen, you start banging on F8. Start, yep. Just start banging right. Like a crazy person
you
on the
F8
key.
Hit it too early, really.
Yeah.
So.
If you hit it too early, you'll get a keyboard error in the post. So wait till the post is kind of halfway done. Start banging on F8, and you'll get a special boot menu, and you want to choose safe mode, and then try launching the defrag tool in there. And chances are you won't have any processes running that would possibly be affecting the hard drive.
And for sanity's sake...
Throw away Windows ME?
Yeah, absolutely, throw away Windows ME. Yeah. But for other sanity's sake, you don't really have to bang on F8 like constantly, because then you're really kind of looking kind of manic.
Well,
just
don't you hurt your keyboard.
Don't hold it down. Don't hit it once every second.
Sometimes you got to learn that computer.
No, actually, quite frankly, I find it comforting to hit it as though I were playing track and field in the arcade during the 100-yard dash. Like, hit it as fast as I possibly can.
Excellent. That's
all
really
right, look,
excellent. Anyway.
Real fast, I want to talk about something real fast, and I guess we'll probably have to
do it next
carry
week.
It over into next week. It's called phishing.
That's a big topic.
P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G, phishing. And
is that
it's
like...
when you to my understanding, it's when you receive a fraudulent email from, like, say, your bank.
That purports to be from your bank.
Or PayPal or eBay. That says your account is under investigation or there's been a security problem or whatever, you need to click on this link
and confirm your information.
Don't do that. Here's the thing, and this is what PayPal says. If those emails will never have your name in it. It'll say, dear so-and-so at, you know, so-and-so.com. Okay, it'll have the email address they're sending it to. When you get an actual email, that's one of the big things to look for. When you get an actual email from PayPal or your bank, whatever, chances are it will have your name. It will have your name and your information already in it. And most of the time,
inspect the URL they're sending you to.
Yeah, inspect the URL. And frankly, if you get something like that, the first thing you should probably do is contact that institution and find out if they actually sent you that email. This is serious stuff. You can end up sending your address, your account information, your credit card, your everything to these people, and you'll be sorry. You'll be sorry. So
on the topic of phishing, there's a new attack on browsers.
30 seconds, Ty. Go ahead.
Where there's a way that you can make a browser, if you're a bad guy and you have a server, you can make it look like it says the letter A, but really it's some foreign letter that looks like the letter A, but it's a different code. And you can fake being that server like PayPal and get somebody's username and information. And it looks in their browser like they're at PayPal.com, but they're not.
That's very interesting.
Browsers are getting patched for that, but it's not done yet.
I think the safest thing to do here is if you receive an email that's even remotely similar to that, don't do what it says.
Go
through your usual secure methods of logging onto the website, like your bank or something like that. Confirm your information there. Don't launch it through your email client.
Exactly.
Don't do it.
All right. Well, as you all can hear, Dolomite, the human tornado.
I love this.
It's coming up in the background.
That means we go across the street to drink.
We are going to get really beers across the street, man. At Union Club Tavern. This has been Dial a Dork. Visit us at dialadork.com, comgroup.com.
Hey, thanks to all the callers today.
The emails. You guys are awesome, and we will see
Shout
you next
out for
week.
Nauticon.
Nauticon next week. Well, not Nauticon next week.
Us next week.
Yeah.
Nauticon in April.
That's
we'll
right.
be there, too, so be there.
Yeah.
Those pimps together, it was live.